Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning! Are you awake? My name is Matt, and welcome to Vintage Faith. Happy to have you guys here. God, we ask that you would meet us today. And God, I know that we've come here with a whole host of different things going on in our lives. And some of us had really great weeks, and we've come with praise on our lips. And some of us, we've had really difficult weeks, and we have stumbled in today defeated and alone and feeling broken. And God, I pray that you would meet us, all of us, where there is joy, that we would be able to celebrate your goodness, and where there is sorrow and loss, God, we would find peace and rest in you. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? We thank you for your word, that it's powerful and active and it's sharp and it penetrates through our hearts and through our stubbornness, and it speaks directly to the issues that are most relevant and most pertinent to you. So God, would you speak to us today? If you want God to speak to you today, would you say amen with me?
Amen.
Amen. As you can see, we are in construction. It's always fun to be doing a little bit of construction. There's cables around. Be careful. The carpet's a little bit loopy in places, so be careful where you walk. Much like the construction that's happening around us in our church, God is at work inside of all of us. Right now, God is building something new in you. And right now, God is destroying something unnecessary in you. See, I think if we all want God to build something in us, we need to be okay with the fact that God is going to do a little bit of demolition as well. In my life, it just doesn't seem like God adds into my life without doing a little subtracting in my life. And sometimes it's the subtraction that really hurts. It's saying goodbye to something that you have found your identity in for a long time. It's saying goodbye to something that you have found peace in for a long time, because God wants to upgrade your life. He doesn't want to downgrade your life. What you've been building on for a long time isn't necessarily bad, but God wants you to build on something better. God wants you to build on a foundation more secure. God wants to extend the scope of your life. God wants to extend the influence of your life. And if he wants to extend the voice and the influence of your life, he also needs to build the foundation out a little bit wider, a little bit deeper. So we're here today to talk about how God wants to build something new and exciting in you. We also want to talk about how God is also carefully dissecting and looking at the parts of your life that are going to be unnecessary or even harmful. Are you willing to go this journey with me as we ask God to do something amazing, and we also ask God to do something which may be a little bit invasive for some of us, but necessary?
Yeah. Yes.
All right, good. Well, I'm preaching to a couple of you, so I'm glad you're here. We have some visitors today. We have some visitors from Redding. We have visitors from Bend, Oregon. Basically, the North is just visiting the South right now. So happy to have you guys with us today. Good to be with you. Today, we're going to be looking at one of Jesus' most famous teachings. You know it as the Sermon on the Mount. It is one of Jesus' most famous teachings. It's a long one, but we're not going to be looking to actually the entire teaching. I just want to look at the last four verses of Jesus' long teaching. When I proposed to Grace, I had this really long proposal in mind. I mean, I think I might have had note cards ready. It was this whole production that I did for Grace. I met her at this gazebo overlooking the water outside of north of Bellingham. We were going to school in Canada, so I proposed on the American side to make it legit. And it wouldn't really matter. We had a gazebo, we had this whole thing, and I had this whole speech prepared. And it was eloquent. I said lots of sweet stuff, you know, I didn't know angels could fly so low. I said stuff like that. I told her how great she was, how much she completed my life. I did this whole speech. But you know what? The most important part of that proposal, it wasn't all the stuff at the front end. The most important part of my proposal was actually the last part. It was the part where I asked her the question. It was the part where I say, "Will you marry me?" That was the big moment. All the other stuff was cute and nice and fun, but what really mattered was the very end when I said, "Would you marry me?" Because in that invitation, things were going to change from that moment on. You can get through a lot of that proposal and just get done and say, "Well, just wanted you to know that stuff. You want to go to Subway?" But things change when you get to that moment of how are we going to apply what I just talked about. So I want to look at what Jesus says. Jesus gets done doing this long sermon. In your Bible, it's 3 chapters long. At the end is the most important part. In light of everything Jesus just got done telling the people, there's an invitation, and it's an invitation that will seriously change you. Just like the invitation for Grace to be my wife changed me. We were either going to leave that conversation, soon to be husband and wife, or we were probably going to end up breaking up, right? There's going to be a crossroads moment. When Jesus does this teaching, there's a crossroads moment at the end. In light of everything you just heard me say, you can either do this or you can do this. There's 2 routes to go. And I hope today that we will all choose to obey Jesus' words and to follow him and where he's leading us today. Okay, so that's what we're going to kind of be looking at today. Just a little refresher on the Sermon on the Mount, because I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. Just a little refresher. It's in Matthew chapter 5. You can turn there if you want, but I'm just going to hit some of the highlights so you understand what Jesus was teaching the people in this moment. In Matthew chapter 5, let me see here. The first is we have the blessed life, you know? It's the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are this. So we have the blessed life. The second part we talk about is, well, Jesus tells us that we shouldn't murder. Seems like good advice. Jesus talks about reconciliation. Jesus talks about marriage. He talks about divorce. He talks about promises. He talks about generosity. He talks about love. He talks about prayer. He talks about fasting. He talks about money. He talks about anxiety. He talks about judging others. This message that Jesus gave some 2,000 years ago, doesn't it kind of hit home with us today? Aren't these good things that we should be hearing Jesus' perspective on? Yeah. I tell you what, I need Jesus' perspective on marriage, not on my perspective. I need Jesus' perspective on finances. I need Jesus' perspective on anxiety. I need Jesus to teach me how to pray. I need Jesus to teach me all these things. And so as relevant as it was 2,000 years ago, Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount is just as applicable for us today. So let's get to the 4 verses that I want to look at today. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, come on.
Come on.
This is what it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says this, everyone then, so in light of everything you just heard Jesus say, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Basically, Jesus is saying there are 2 different responses to my profound words I just taught you. Jesus is saying that there are 2 responses. Those that hear and do are wise. Those that hear and don't do are foolish. Your translation of the Bible might even say they are stupid. Those are strong words. If this was a math equation, it would read like this. Those that hear the words plus do them equals wisdom. The other equation would be those that hear his words and don't do them equals stupid. Your choice. Which would you like to be? Wise or foolish? I hope so. I hope you want to be wise. It says that the wise build their house on the rock and the foolish build their house on the sand. Here's the one thing that I learned in this scripture. It doesn't matter if you build your house on the rock or you build your house on the sand. Either way, storms are on their way. Yeah. Building your foundation on the rock doesn't mean you get to avoid all the storms of life.
Yeah.
I thought when you became a Christian, everything got really easy. I thought that all my problems were gone and that he would just wipe my slate clean and I got a fresh start and no problems are going to come my way because I'm with Jesus now. I'm on team Jesus. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. But the reality is when you choose to follow Jesus, you build your foundation on a rock, but it doesn't mean you get to avoid the storms. You just happen to have built your foundation on something that can withstand the storms of life. Storms are on their way. You might be in a storm.
Come on, yeah.
You might be in the middle of torrential downpour and winds, and you might be in the thick of it all. I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. And for me, doesn't it feel like the storms of life is never one? Whenever something kind of disastrous happens to me, I go, wait for it, right? When something really desperate happens, you lose your job, you get a bad email from someone, whatever it may be, something bad happens, just wait for it. In my life, it just seems to happen in threes. It just seems to happen in threes. It's not one storm, it's multiple storms all at one time. I want to encourage us today. This sounds a little discouraging, but I actually want to encourage us today. I want to put courage inside of you. I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage myself today. I want to be a person. I want you to be people that build your lives on a firm foundation, not on a slippery foundation. There's one foundation worth building on. Only one foundation will sustain you. Build your life not on the words of others or your own personal opinions, but build your life on the foundation of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105, it says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. As many of you know, I have 3 children in my home, which means there are toys on the floor all the time. Barbies and princesses and castles and whatever on the floor all the time. If you were to walk through my house in the pitch black, you are going to step on something that is going to make you say a word you wish you didn't say out loud. Because there are just things on the floor everywhere. When I think about God's word being a light unto my path, he illuminates my path, not to rid the obstacles, but to help me be mindful that I might avoid them. You don't just step on a Lego for fun. You don't just step on a Barbie castle for fun. I'll enjoy this. Everyone's going to love this. His word is a light unto our path. Not the light doesn't make the obstacles disappear. It just illuminates them so that you can avoid them. Can you think of one thing you wish you would have avoided? Can you think of one thing you wish you would have steered clear of in your teenage years? Can you think of one decision you made that looking back, man, you wish you would have turned left instead of turning right? You wish you would have hung up that phone call and not proceeded with that phone call? You wish you wouldn't have replied to that email that way? God's word is going to give you the tools to be discerning about the decisions that are ahead of you. Because you need a wisdom, I need a wisdom that doesn't come from my own noggin. I need a wisdom that comes from above. Yeah. Because God has a heavenly perspective of your life, not a temporal perspective of your life. He sees how this decision affects that decision, affects that decision. God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. You know, Jesus knew the importance of foundations. He knew that an unhealthy foundation would be damaging. He knew that a sturdy foundation would be necessary. I got a part-time job because I needed to save up money to buy her a wedding ring. And so I got a job in, this is up in Central Washington, and I got a job working for a construction company, a guy who was building houses and stuff. And one of my first jobs, we showed up to the work site, and the work site was just this beautiful plot of land with absolutely nothing around it, just apple trees and just beautiful. And I just showed up to the work site, and he says, "We're going to build a house right there." And I thought, oh, great, there's nothing there. This seems like an awful lot of work. Well, the first things we had to do is we had to start measuring out where this house was going to be. That was step number one, measure out where this house is going to be. Where's the foundation actually going to be? And the step two was to dig out the dirt so that we could build the forms, which is kind of the wooden blocking where you would pour the concrete into it. And so over this whole summer, we got to dig out the footing of the house, and we got to build the forms, which are the wooden pieces, and put rebar and put metal in it, and we did the concrete pour and did the whole thing. It was a really fun job for me because every day I worked all day, and I'd look back and I'd go, I just accomplished something. Does anybody have a job where you can work all day and feel like you didn't get anything done? I think real estate's kind of like that, Angel. Real estate's like that. You're knocking on doors, you're sending emails, you get done with the whole day, and you're like, did I do anything? I did so much, but I don't see the implications of what I just got done doing. Well, construction isn't like that because every day you're seeing a little bit of progress. Well, in my work, I got to build the forms for the concrete, and it was really fun to see this house slowly take shape. You know, a skilled craftsman, which I am not, which I never was, but a skilled builder can look at the foundation and they can already have a really good idea what the house is going to look like. A good contractor, a good worker could look at the foundation and say, they could even say, I think this is going to be a two-story house. Just by looking at the foundation, they could tell how high this house is going to go because the foundation is as sturdy as it needs to be to go up two stories. When we are building the foundation of our lives, you can build in such a way that you can build something, you can be very happy with the outcome, or you can build in such a way that you are limiting what God could really do in your life. Yeah. And I want to build a firm foundation. One of the things that annoyed me the most about that job is all the measuring. We kept measuring because we wanted to make sure that what we were building, that the foundation was square, that this was a 90 degree angle, because if it was 89 degrees, the whole structure was going to look off eventually. And when you're building something new construction, you want to start with something as square as possible, as sturdy as possible, because as you build up, those little degree changes are going to become more and more obvious as you build. That's how important foundations are. What you are building your life on is really important, because as your life builds up in influence, those imperfections, those impurities in your foundation will be exposed as you get bigger. And as the weight of life gets more and more significant, those discrepancies and those areas where the concrete didn't quite set right, where the form wasn't quite perfect, those cracks that are little start to get bigger as the weight of life starts to press down a little bit. Of all the things you do in the building of a house, I would say you don't want to rush the building of the foundation. You don't want to breeze through that as quick as you can. And we do this. It's human nature. Let's hurry up and put the walls up. I want to see what it looks like. Let's hurry up. Let's start putting the fixtures in. I want to see what it looks like. But if you don't have a steady, concrete, solid foundation, it doesn't really matter what you add onto it. It's all going to fall apart later. Yeah. Wisdom is hearing God's word. And not just hearing it, hearing his word and doing it. Yeah. That's wise. Hearing his word and not doing it, stupid. Super stupid. I only can say this from experience because I have built on horrible foundations too many times. I've built on foundations that were temporary. I've built on foundations that are damaging. I've built on all sorts of bad foundations, and it is a lot of work to rebuild those things. God right now wants to give you an opportunity to build your life on a foundation that really matters, on his word. Just a couple observations from our text today, and it is this. Number one, wisdom isn't hearing. Wisdom is hearing and doing. Wisdom isn't just hearing. Wisdom is hearing and doing. And this might be the big difference between someone that is smart and someone that is wise. Someone that is smart has lots of information, but their life can look pretty ridiculous. Someone that's wise is someone that has lots of information, but their life reflects the information they've gained. I think you have a choice. Do you want to be smart or you want to be wise? Do you want to know it all, or do you want to know enough and live prudently because in light of the knowledge that you have? Wisdom isn't just knowing a lot of stuff. Wisdom is knowing and then behaving accordingly. And you can know a lot and miss out on God's plan for your life. You can actually know God's word way better than me, but continue to make foolish decisions because your actions aren't lining up with what you know. Jesus has a word for people like that. He calls them hypocrites. We get the word actors out of that. I met Bruce. Bruce is an actor. Hi, Bruce. Actors are pretending to be something that they aren't. Or what kind of Christian are you? Are you just pretending? Can you throw out enough scriptures to make people believe you are who you say you are? But then your life behind closed doors looks radically different than the life you profess? Man, no one wants to hear stuff like that. It's easier to be smart about your faith. Amen. It's more difficult to be wise about your faith. Yeah. Because wisdom demands actions. Yeah. If you read about in your Bible a bit, you've seen that Jesus gets frustrated with people. Let me tell you who Jesus doesn't get frustrated with. Prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors, children. Jesus doesn't get frustrated with people that are broken and messed up and hurting. he saves most of his frustration for religious people who know all the right answers, whose lives don't reflect what they know. You want to see Jesus get angry? Just let him loose with some of the Pharisees. Let me just read you what Jesus does here. These are Jesus' words to the religious teachers. This is Jesus' words to the smart people. It says this in Matthew 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Those are harsh words. What Jesus is really saying is, you know all the right answers. You can quote all the right scriptures. And on the outside, you look like you know all the right stuff. But on the inside, you're broken and rotting and dying. My hope is that when you come to Vintage Faith, my hope is that you learn something at church that actually changes the way you live your life. You know, I know a lot of pastors, and I've got lots of pastors that are friends, of course, and pastors gauge their success in lots of different ways. I know pastors who gauge their success by how many people show up on a Sunday. And they love talking about, on Sunday, you wouldn't believe it, we broke the 200 barrier today. And pastors celebrate their success by how many people show up on Sundays. Some pastors do that. Some pastors celebrate their success as how much money came in on that Sunday. Oh, you had a good Sunday. Oh, how was that? Well, tithe was up. Some pastors gauge their success by how much money comes in. Some pastors gauge their success by how many properties the church owns or how much money is in the bank. I want you to know that I think about all those things. But you know what really gets me happy and what really excites me? I define success not by any of those things. I'm so happy you're here. But if you weren't here, I'm going to be just as happy. Sorry. I don't define success as a pastor by your attendance, the amount of money you give, the amount of properties we have, or any of that kind of stuff. I define my success as a pastor with the fact of, are you hearing and are you doing what God has called you to do? When I see those little glimpses of people actually applying the things they're learning on Sunday, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm doing it. That's my job. I'm doing it. It's really happening. When I see people making stands for purity in their life, I go, they're really getting it. When I see people being more generous, not just how they give on Sundays, they're just being generous with their lives. I go, they're really, really getting it. When I hear about people going over to people's house who are sick and not feeling well, just to go and comfort them, I go, oh, they're really, really getting it. We could define success in lots of different ways as a church. And I've got council members here who are listening to me. Don't get upset. It's so good. We want our church to grow, not because we care about the numbers. I just care about how God's kingdom is being shown to our community every single day of the week. I honestly get way more excited about the stories I hear from Love the City Thrift Store than what comes out of a Sunday. Because out of Love the City Thrift Store, every week there are stories of how God is showing up and impacting people's lives. I love that kind of stuff. I want you to know that none of those things, the money, the stuff, none of those things for me equate success as a pastor. What is successful is your ability to hear what God is saying on a Sunday and then apply it into your life.
Amen.
Wisdom would be doing that. Foolishness would be hearing what is said on a Sunday and then just going back to life as usual and not letting it impact and not letting it affect the decisions that you make. I hope that as long as you're here with us at Vintage Faith, I hope that you are changed. Like, I hope you're radically changed. We're all going to leave this church at some point, myself included. It is your choice. Are you going to leave this place wiser than you arrived? That's all I really want. I want you to be 1 degree wiser than you were when you got here. And wisdom comes from hearing his word and doing what it says. Number two, and this is my last point. How about that for a Labor Day sermon? 2 points? Come on, somebody. Secure foundations take time. Secure foundations, they take time. If it was so easy just to build your life on a secure foundation instantly and rid yourself of all the other things you find your purpose in that God doesn't want you to find your purpose in, if it could happen overnight, wouldn't that be nice? From my experience, it takes time. One of the things Grace and I like to do on our date nights is go for walks at the beach. And last week we went to Manhattan Beach and we were walking on the Strand. If anybody would like to buy us a Strand house, we'll talk after service. Those Strand houses are beautiful, aren't they? All those houses right on the water, they're three stories high. Imagine the view from those houses. Well, we were walking and I saw a house that was actually under construction and there were huge excavators on the plot of land, three of them. Remember that, Grace? Strand houses can't just be built on this top soil. You've got to dig way down to bedrock. And that takes a lot of time. I always wondered, why does it take so long for these strand houses to get built? Because they have to dig all the way down to build on a sure foundation. It would be cheaper just to build right on the sand right there. It'd be so much faster, right? Just to build it just like it is, just on the dirt. And it would last for a little while. But it wouldn't take long for that house to start sliding into the ocean. It wouldn't take long for the cracks to form in the foundation and the investment to all go bad. It takes a lot of time. If you want to build your life on God's values and God's principles, you need to be engaged on the fact this is going to be a little bit of a journey. It's going to be a process. It's going to take a little bit of time. God in his mercy isn't going to force on you a whole plethora of values right away. He's going to slowly reveal himself so that your heart longs to be obedient to him out of love, not out of fear. Settling for an insecure, a faulty foundation now will cost you less now, but it'll cost you more later. Yeah. Here's a couple things that I have heard people can build their lives on that tends to be unsatisfying. When I have this job, then. Has anybody ever said that? Like, your life is miserable. Well, when I have this job, then everything's going to be better. When I have this relationship, then finally things will settle down in my life. When I have this much money saved up, then finally. When my kids behave, then. When I lose 15 pounds, then finally. Or if you're George, when I gain 15 pounds of muscle, then. See, these are foundations that we build our lives on that are temporary. Because your job will end. And if your identity is in your job, then when you lose your job, you've lost part of you. That wasn't a sure foundation. If you build your life around a relationship, then when that person is gone, or that person doesn't return your phone calls, or that person isn't as influential in your life anymore, all of a sudden part of you has gone. That's not a sure foundation. When you have enough money saved, then you'll have a sure foundation. I'm so sorry to tell you this. You will never have enough money to feel secure because you were never meant to have your security in an amount in your checking account. Yes. Was it Jim Carrey that makes this quote? Jim Carrey, you know, Ace Ventura. Jim Carrey makes this quote and he says, "I hope everyone gets to be rich someday so they know how meaningless it all is." Think of a number that you'd be happy with. If you had this much money in your account, you would finally be happy. It won't matter. I don't care how many zeros you put at the end of that number. A million, a billion, those things were never meant to make you happy. They will never satisfy you like you think they will. It is an endless pursuit, like chasing after a mirage in the desert. As soon as you get close to what you think is going to give you joy, it evaporates in front of you and you need something else. That is not a sure foundation. What about your kids? As soon as your kids behave, you'll be happy. They'll never behave. No. I don't know. I got little ones. They better behave. I can save you a lot of time. I let you know that none of those things will ever satisfy you. None of those things will ever give you peace. Only Jesus can give you that kind of peace. Only Jesus can give you that kind of satisfaction. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I love this verse. I love this verse. And if I love you, I've probably texted it to you before because it's so good. Matthew 6, 33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. Build your life on that. Of all the things you want to build your life on that. Seeking God first and his righteousness. And all of a sudden, you'll find that your desires change. Your wants start to change. You start to become satisfied with every good and perfect thing that God gives you. If you do this, you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Building your life on anything but God, it's like buying a knockoff purse. I wouldn't know much about that. Lies. I collect purses. I love them. There's a big difference between a Gucci purse bought at the Gucci store. You're figuring out how much I know about purses. And a Gucci purse you bought at Santee Alley. You've been to Santee Alley, downtown Los Angeles? There's a big difference. Now, from about 20 feet away, those purses may look identical. The Fucci. It's fake Gucci. I just did that. Is that a Fucci or a Gucci? Oh, man, that's classic. You should be laughing more because that was a good one. Dad jokes. Hashtag. Do people still do that? I do. There's a big difference between the Gucci purse from the Gucci store and the Gucci purse from Santee Alley. From 20 feet away, they may look identical, but when you start getting them up close, you start seeing the flaws and the discrepancy. As soon as you start putting things in your Fucci purse, you start realizing that the straps start bending, that the zipper stops zipping, that the stitching starts coming out. There's a big difference between the authentic thing and the fake thing. You want to build your life on the real thing, or you want to build your life on the fake thing? Because one has years of enjoyment. One may not make it through the summer. Just follow this illustration a little bit longer. Once you fill those purses with stuff, I don't know, whatever you put in purses, once the weight starts setting in, the true integrity of the purse will be revealed. This is like the storms that come into our lives. As they come into our lives, they reveal the integrity of the thing that we built on. I wish you could avoid all the challenges of life. I wish you could avoid loss. I wish you could avoid addiction. I wish you could avoid all the things that hurt in life, but you just can't and you just won't. But I can tell you the only thing that will sustain you through every difficult, dark, and bad season is that you build your life on the truth of who God is and on his word. That is the only thing that will satisfy. I want to read you this passage from the Message paraphrase. And if you like the Message, you'll enjoy this rendering. So this is the same scripture we're reading. Remember, this is Jesus' conclusion to all of his teaching. And this is what he says. This is kind of a little bit easier to reformat. He says this: these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a wise carpenter. If you work these words into your life, you are like a wise carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Are we going to hear God's word and do it and be wise? Are we going to hear God's word and not do it and become foolish? As we wrap up, I want us to think about something. What have you built your life on that hasn't yielded the kind of return you wanted? What have you built your life on other than building your life on God's word? What priorities have you set above knowing God in your life? Is there anything competing to be the foundation of your life? I want you to think about those questions. Will you stand with me? So God, we come to you this morning, and every foundation that we've tried to build our lives on that isn't you, God, we repent of those things. We turn from those things. We forsake those things we've tried to find our identity and our purpose in for too long. And God, we make the choice that we're going to build our lives not on those things. We're going to build our life on the truth of who you are and on your word. God, I pray that there would be a shift in our minds and in our hearts right now, that we would start to value and prioritize your thoughts above our thoughts. We would start to prioritize your values above our values. We start to prioritize your passion over our passions. God, help us today. Holy Spirit, would you come right now and help just push out those things that are unstable in our lives, and you'd replace them with your stability and your strength. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that even right now you're revealing to some people, I've been building my life on this, or I've been building my life on that. And God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit doesn't just reveal things to us just to expose the brokenness of it, but your Holy Spirit comes to reestablish a new foundation in our lives. So God, we come to you, and just like the forms of a house, God, would you take over? Would you become the main contractor of our lives? God, would you take the hammer out of our hands? Would you take the level out of our hands? Would you take the authority out of our hands? And God, we give all the authority to you. God, would you build our lives? Help shape our lives so that they reflect you and your goodness. God, I pray you reveal every cracked foundation that we have. God, reveal every foundation that we've had that is unnecessary. Reveal every dream that has been ours and not yours. And God, replace them with your perfect will, your perfect plan. God, help us to be a church that, oh man, we don't just do church just to enjoy our Sunday morning, but we do church so that we can have an effective Monday. God, help us to be a church that doesn't just experience your presence to make Sunday fun, but we be a church that experiences your presence to make our Monday effective. Holy Spirit, do the work you need to do deep inside of our lives. Uproot those things that are unsatisfying and damaging to us. Reestablish us as people who value you, and we want to grow up to look more like you in our lives. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's be the church. Have a terrific Labor Day tomorrow. Thanks for inviting me to your house. Have a great week. Be the church.